Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Okay, Jim. Okay. We're good.
Okay, let me see here. I gotta.
I'll close that other call out.
Okay. Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We had a rough start today, but there's a huge amount of news to report today. I hardly know where to begin. China has done a moon probe, and they're coming back. This is pretty fascinating stuff. I mean, unlike the false claims of the United States to have gone to the moon with a manned mission, China has had an unmanned mission. Let me report about it. China's most sophisticated and challenging space adventure, the Chang'e 5's robotic lunar mission, ended successfully Thursday morning with its load of rocks and dust from the moon landing on the grasslands in northern China. The China National Space Administration said in a statement that Chang'e 5's reentry capsule touched down on its preset landing site in Zhejiang Banner of the Inner Mongolian Autonomous Region at 1:59 a.m. The recovery team will make initial processing of the capsule and then use a plane to transport it to Beijing, where it'll be open for technicians to remove the container holding lunar samples. The reentry and landing start about 1 a.m. when mission controllers uploaded high-accuracy navigation data to the orbiter reentry capsule combination traveling around Earth. The capsule then separated from the orbit about 5,000 kilometers above the southern Atlantic Ocean and began to descend toward Earth. It entered the atmosphere at the second cosmic velocity, or 11.2 kilometers a second at 1:33, and soon bounced off the atmosphere to further slow down its ultra-fast speed that could cause damage to the vehicle. Later, the craft re-entered the atmosphere at a much slower speed of about 7.9 kilometers a second, also known as the first cosmic velocity. When the module was about 10 kilometers above the ground, it released a parachute, smoothly landed in the snow-covered grassland. Recovery personnel from the Jingquan Satellite Launch Center came to the landing site in helicopters and off-road vehicles. The successful landing marked the completion of the historic 23-day Shanghai expedition, the first in more than 40 years to bring lunar samples back to Earth, thus making China the third country to achieve this feat after the United States and the former Soviet Union. Now the sealed samples will be transferred to specially designed laboratories for analysis, experiment, and tests, so scientists can determine the extraterrestrial substance's composition, structure, and traits, thus deepening their knowledge of the history of the moon and the solar system. A certain proportion will also be on public display to enhance scientific awareness among the public, especially young generations, sources reported. That's all fabulous, and I find that very, very impressive that they should have done that. I mean, impressive in the extreme. Four, Chang'e 5, China's largest, most advanced lunar probe, consists of four main components: an orbiter, lander, ascender, and reentry capsule. The spacecraft was launched by a Long March 5 heavy lift carrier rocket early on November 24th at the Wenchang Space Launch Center in South China's Hainan Province, setting out on China's most difficult space activity and the world's first lunar sample return mission since 1976. The probe separated into two parts, the orbiter reentry capsule combination and the lander ascender combination, while in lunar orbit early on the morning of November 30th. Late on December 1st, the lander-ascender combination landed on the moon, becoming the world's third spacecraft to touch down on the lunar surface this century after its predecessors, Chang'e 3 and 4. The landing site was near Mount Ruhlmacher, an isolated volcanic formation, located in the Oceanus Pelarium, or Ocean of Storms, a vast lunar mare, sea meaning, on the western edge of the moon's near side. The area had never been visited before Chang'e 5's mission. Shortly after landing, the combination began to fill its major task, to use a drill to obtain 500 grams of underground samples, and then use a mechanical arm to scoop up 1.5 kilograms of surface dust. Samples are packed into a vacuum container inside the ascender. The lander also unfurled the first freestanding Chinese national flag on the moon. The ascender activated an engine late on December 3rd to lift itself into an elliptical orbit, further to prepare for docking with the reentry capsule, marking the first time a Chinese spacecraft had blasted off from an extraterrestrial body. It rendezvoused and docked with the orbiting combination early on December 6th and transferred lunar samples to the reentry capsule. The ascender separated from the combination later that day and was commanded to impact on the moon on December 8th. The combination made two orbitable injection operations over the weekend after traveling in a near-circular lunar orbit for nearly 6 days. After the injection maneuvers, the pair entered a moon-Earth transfer trajectory on Sunday and began to fly back toward Earth. According to the Space Administration, a Chang'e 5 mission was designed to fulfill several objectives in terms of space engineering. It should demonstrate and verify technical plans and apparatus for autonomous lunar sampling and packing, moon-based launching, as well as lunar orbital docking. In the scientific context, it was tasked with investigating the landing site geological and topological features and enabling scientists to analyze lunar sample structure and physical traits so they can deepen their research into the moon's origin and evolution. Project planners also wanted the mission to help to foster the country's knowledge, technology, and talent pool for future manned lunar missions and other deep space expeditions. The first man-made object from Earth to ever reach the moon was the Soviet space group Luna 2. Instead of landing, it actually crashed into the moon in September of 1959. The first soft landing on our celestial neighbor was made by the Soviet Luna 9 in February of 1966. As the result of long-time persuasion by scientists, the Chinese government approved in January 2004 an overall plan for the country's lunar exploration program and officially opened the research and development work. The first Chang probe was launched in October 2007. Since then, China has launched five lunar probes, including Chang 5 and one experimental spacecraft. Before Chang 5, the Chang 4, which remained operational on the moon, was the most remarkable lunar mission by China, as it is the first endeavor by any nation to conduct surface observation of the moon's far side, which never faces Earth, thereby accomplishing a goal sought by scientists for decades. The design work on Chang 5 began in January 2011, concluded in December 2012, and the designers and engineers started building the probe prototype. Construction for the Chang 5 began in December 2015 at the China Academy of Space Technology. The missile was originally scheduled to be done by the end of 2017, but the plan had to be postponed due to technical problems on the Long March 5 rocket, which had a launch failure in July of that year. Now, let me just say how refreshing it is to read from the China National Space Administration what appears to be accurate information rather than bullshit, which is what we've ever had from our own space administration, NASA, also known as Never a Straight Answer. This is just stunning, stunning stuff, and I'm just tremendously impressed with what the Chinese have done here. This appears to be a remarkable achievement. For those of you who are following, my show with Gary King, Inconvenient Truths, it begins with a wonderful parody of our having gone to the moon. But it turns out samples of the moon rocks were petrified wood. That's one we gave to a museum in the Netherlands. We have all kinds of photographs of converging shadows on the moon, which would be impossible if we were actually on the moon, because it only has one source of light, and it is at such vast distance to the moon, to wit the sun, that all shadows cast would be parallel to one another, non-convergent. We also have footprints in the moon dust, and this is one of the most interesting aspects. We have footprints in rover tracks in the moon dust, where I'm convinced that because it has no atmosphere and no moisture, that you could no more make footprints or rover tracks in moon dust than you could in the sands of the Sahara. So I'm fascinated to see whether the Chinese sample will confirm that belief, which reflects one more way in which we have been scammed by our own government. There's overwhelmingly more evidence here, about our not having gone, where we didn't have the computing capacity, we didn't have the rocket, the propulsion capacity to escape low Earth orbit, we didn't have the ability to communicate back and forth to the moon 250,000 miles. An expert in communication at the time said it would have required a van the size of a bread truck. Well, I didn't observe any van the size of a bread truck on the moon. And when Nixon was talking with Buzz Aldrin, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was as though they were in the next room talking together, because there's no vast sound delay, which would of necessity take place if those were bona fide exchanges. So this is all really quite stunning stuff. And I find it, an increasing embarrassment to the United States that anyone should continue to allow themselves to be played. So I'm very impressed by this. And I do wholeheartedly encourage everyone to pay attention to what's going on here, because this is very, very significant. Let me add that you'll find I've just uploaded, by the way, an interview of Ole Domegaard in relation to the assassination of Martin Luther King, which he did on Project Camelot. It's all based really on the research of William Pepper, who is James Earl Ray's lawyer, which continued even after Ray's death and conviction and death. He has a whole book about it, at least an audio book, The Plot to Kill King. William Pepper was James Earl Ray's lawyer in the trial for the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. And even after Ray's conviction and death, Pepper continues to adamantly argue Ray's innocence. It's far more elaborate than that. This myth-shattering expose is a revised, updated, and heavily expanded volume of Pepper's original best-selling and critically acclaimed Orders to Kill, with 26 years of additional research included. The result reveals dramatic new details of the night of the murder, the trial, and why Ray was chosen to take the fall for an evil conspiracy, a government-sanctioned assassination of our nation's greatest leader. The plan, according to Pepper, was for a team of United States Army Special Forces sniper to kill King. But just as they were taking aim, a backup civilian assassin pulled the trigger. Ole's got wonderful assembly of photographs. And, you know, I'm really sorry to have to tell you that some of Martin Luther King's own entourage, including especially Jesse Jackson, were involved in setting him up for the hit. Indeed, he and Martin on the balcony of the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis were having an argument where Martin was taking Jesse to task because he was not wearing a tie. But the snipers were instructed that their target would be wearing a tie. So the fact that Jesse isn't wearing a tie is one of the signs. He also was instrumental in getting Martin out of a white-owned hotel where he would have been safe into a black-owned motel and then having his room changed so he'd be more vulnerable on the balcony. The key players in a plot to kill a king, J. Edgar Hoover, director of FBI, H.L. Hunt, Texas oil man, Richard Helms, director CIA, Edward Lansdale, Ted Shackley, CIA, Carlos Marcello, New Orleans, Frank Holloman, Police and Fire Department in Memphis, Lloyd Jowers, restaurant owner, Frank Strausser, Neuro Clark of the Metropolitan Police Department, and Breen Bland, a doctor at St. Joseph's Hospital. Let me just say a bit about the trial. The jury in Memphis heard a tape recording of a two-hour-long confession Jowers made at a fall 1998 meeting with Martin Luther King's son, Dexter, and former U.N. Ambassador Andrew Young. Those are good guys. On the tape, Jowers says a meeting to plan the assassination occurred at Jim's Grill. He said the planners uncovered included undercover Metropolitan Memphis Police Department officer Merrill McCullough, who now works for the CIA, Memphis Police Department Lieutenant Earl Clark, who died in 1987, a third police officer and two men Jowers did not know but thought were federal agents. Young, who witnessed the assassination, can be heard on tape identifying McCullough as a man kneeling beside King's body on the balcony in a famous photograph taken right after the shooting. According to witness Colby Vernon Smith, McCullough had infiltrated a Memphis community organizing group, the Invaders, which was working with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. In his trial testimony, M said the Memphis Police Department Intelligence Agency was a guy who ran up the balcony stairs with us to see Martin. Now, Martin suffered very substantial wound to the neck, where we have diagrams, but surprisingly not photographs. The diagrams are very vivid. It's difficult, and Ole talks about why don't we see the photographs. But it's also the case that Martin was not dead at the scene. And by the way, Ole suggests there could have been as many as two more hits to Martin, but he was still alive. Ray began to claim, and this is James Earl, of course, the man he knew only as Roll was president of Memphis on April 4th, and that Ray himself was at a nearby gas station when the shot was fired. No one saw the actual shot fired. The screen from the bathroom window is found on the ground below, but that was part of a fraud. That was just a setup, James Earl Ray, to claim the shot had been fired from this bathroom at this restaurant owned by Jowers, but that was not the case. It was actually fired from inside the bushes before the Army sniper team could take him out. Some witnesses, including then New York Times reporter Earl Caldwell, said he saw a man moving in the thick bushes behind Jim's Grill below the bathroom for reasons unknown. Memphis Public Works employees cut down the bushes and destroyed the possible crime scene the next morning. Why would it be for reasons unknown? It was for reasons known. They were deliberately destroying the crime scene. Ballistic tests could not prove the rifle dropped outside the boarding house. The Remington 30-06 Game Master either did or did not fire the fatal shot. Because the gun did not create distinctive grooves on the bullet, as most weapons do. That weapon was not the weapon, Martin Luther King III said. You're going to kill somebody and then drop the gun right there? Ray claimed he'd given the gun to Raoul, but only Ray's fingerprints were on the gun. And, of course, we had all the official stories report Dr. King slain in Memphis, Washington Post reporting, troops ordered into the city, the whole bit. James Earl Ray is finally arrested after a very elaborate effort to escape, to evade detection and arrest. Here's something that's going to disturb you more than any other aspect of the story. Not only was Martin not dead, but they took him to a hospital more distant than necessary, because a racist doctor by the name of Green Bland had declared that if he were not dead, bring him to me and I'll finish him off. So he took him to St. Joseph's Hospital, where Green Bland was in charge of the ER. He ran everyone else out of the ER, and then he smothered Martin Luther King to death with a pillow. Why will the government not come clean about any of this, about... Because James Earl Ray was just as much of a patsy as Lee Harvey Oswald was. James Earl Ray for MLK. Lee Harvey Oswald for JFK. Sirhan Sirhan for MLK. Where Sirhan, by the way, appears to have been hypnotized. And where it may well be the girl in the polka dot dress was a trigger for him to fire a series of shots using the same make and caliber weapon as a security guard who was accompanying Bobby, who actually shot him behind the right ear from a distance of about an inch and a half and continued shooting as Bobby fell, or three more bullets hit him and one missed and went through his jacket but didn't hit the body, and where Thomas Noguchi, who is a world-famous medical examiner, issued a medical report with diagrams about the shot sequence that contradicted the official L.A. Police Department report run by Bill Gates, same name, interestingly, Gates, who was in charge there. And it appears to have been, and I published about this, complicity between the LAPD, who wanted to get their Kennedy, and the CIA, where three different agents were identified as having been present at the ambassador, including David Sanchez Morales, who was basically, you know, was on the scene in Dallas, where George H.W. Bush and Edward Lansdale were there, where Lansdale appears to have positioned the shooters and determined the sequence of shots, and where George H.W. Bush was actually in the Daltex, supervising an Anacastro Cuban who fired three shots from a Mannlicher Carcano in order to create the acoustical impression of only three shots having been fired, because all the other shots were with silenced weapons. So this was really very well thought out, very well planned, but it was all complete bullshit, so that our government spends a vast amount of time assassinating or leading American citizens, those who are real bona fide patriots who want to get, you know, improve the life of all Americans for the sake of these despicable acts, and then they go out of the way to cover them up. And of course, they're ferocious about anyone who seeks to expose the truth, which is one you know, the principal reason why I was subjected to the absurd lawsuit over Sandy Hook for an incomplete death certificate that had no file number, no name, no state or town certification, that had been posted by the same figure who sued me and made available to my research colleague, Kelly Watt, which I published in the book over which this contrived lawsuit was manufactured, to claim I'd committed an act of defamation when I never even mentioned his name in relation to, other than that he had shared it with Kelly Watt, and where under Connecticut law, not even parents are allowed to have uncertified death certificates, of which this was an example, and where I even introduced the reports of two, not one, but two forensic document experts who testified it was fake, I'm not allowed to reassert that claim over which I was sued. I merely explained what happened here. But the judge dismissed it all on the grounds it wasn't relevant to the truth or authenticity of the death certificate. What could be more relevant? How could he dismiss it? Absolutely absurd. He kept out all my evidence. No one had died. We'll be back. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, Joaquin Hagopian has done a brilliant job of exposing that Biden may, in fact, be subjected to blackmail, bribed, and that he's going to be banished. A very, very interesting report, complemented by something from Benjamin Fulford. Let me talk about this. What do we have from Joaquin? Respected journalist Mike Whitney's January 12th article asks, is Biden being blackmailed to send U.S. combat troops to Ukraine? Why even ponder such pretense when all the facts for years have proven that he is? We already know he is, so there's no sense beating around the bush anymore. Joe Biden has spent the last half century entrenched in corrosive corruption of the federal government, invested in perversion and blackmail control for far too many decades. On virtually all important issues, Biden's been a turnstile, flip-flopping more times than a house of pancake flipped in a single morning across America. Back in 2006, he boasted he voted for 700 miles of fence at our southern border and was against amnesty for illegals. As imposter and thief for 2 years, he's welcomed and protected more than 5 million illegals pouring across our southern border, treating them better than U.S. citizens. For example, they're not required to have the vax, which, of course, is inducing sterility, if not death. But the whole idea is to bring in these millions of illegals and have them reproduce astronomically while whites are reproducing at a reduced rate, not even replacement rate, because of the clergy plan to completely alter the demographics of the United States and destroy its sense of nationality and, homogeneity of the country, even though we're a melting pot. This is something that goes far beyond. It's a plan that was devised by Zionists back in the 1930s, and had been used in Europe as well, where they have a vast infiltration of African migrants who have even turned Sweden into the rape capital of the universe. Believe it or not, in Sweden, they won't even report on the race of those who are committing these assaults because they're all being committed by migrants. Sweden used to be the safest country in the world for women, and now it's turned into a hellhole. On race, talking to Biden again. He stuck his innately racist foot in his mouth way too many times to mere slips of the tongue, even opposing desegregation, busing black kids to white schools, delivering a eulogy for the racist segregationist Senator Strom Thurmond, all prior to his selection as the compromised first African-American Manchurian president's vice president. The abortion flip-flopper used to support the Hyde Amendment preventing federal funding for abortions and voted to allow states to overturn Roe v. Wade. Since the court's reversal last year, however, the unholy Catholic and name-only heretic has gone out of his way to continue federal financing out-of-state abortions. Biden also flipped on gay marriage in 1996, voting for a Defense of Marriage Act, then in 2012 endorsing gay marriage, in fact, wholeheartedly championing the entire woke LGBTQ agenda. Selecting a biological man pretending he's a woman as a Deputy Secretary of Health, Rachel Levine, and now disgraced cross-decking, luggage-snatching, high-heeled browser in leather, Sam Brittain as the U.S. Energy Department, not to mention funding child sex abuse, mutilation, pushing transgenderism to nauseating heights, this rubber mask-wearing imposter traitor is anti-human. Not far down the unavoidable Biden rabbit hole are his degenerate perversions, fully on public display. The big guy's shameless coke-snorting son tapes videos of himself stored on his laptop having sex with underage Chinese girls as a bribery poster boy peddling daddy's influence, not to mention the laundered billions in dirty money flowing from both Ukraine and China. For years, all these treasonous crimes have been shielded by no less than 51 deep state operatives committing blackmail crimes to conceal Biden family sins from the public. America deserves to know that the Biden crime family holds multiple properties linked directly to international pedophilia operations. And by the way, this guy, Joaquin Agopian, is the world's leading expert. A Biden family-owned compound, complete with underground tunnels near notorious child sex trafficking port Mariupol, Ukraine, was busted on New Year's Day 2021 by Special Ops Delta Force, exposing evidence of both heroin and child sex trafficking in tunnels directly beneath the Biden family compound. The Biden crime family also owned property on an island just 8 miles from Epstein's, where a Maxwell-piloted mini-sub can secretly transport low-key pedophiles to America history's most infamous pedophile and child sex trafficker, Jeffrey Epstein-owned Orgy Island, financed by Zionist Meta Group multi-billionaire Les Wexner, or the Israeli-U.S. Khazarian Mafia entrapment operation. Little St. James in the U.S. Virgin Island was the headquarters for the Epstein-Maxwell child sex trafficking operation to entrap royal princes, presidents, prime ministers, A-list entertainers, Microsoft bioweapon pandemic architects, you name it, every VIP type on the planet for compromised blackmail control of the bloodline-owned Anglo-American Zio empire. The same island where Virgin Islands Attorney General Denise George just collected over $105 million in a lawsuit settlement in late November against the Epstein estate for her island nation was a triumph. But this due diligent Attorney General just fired by her boss governor after Denise charged J.P. Morgan Chase in New York Federal District Court for money laundering of Epstein's unholy cash. Denise George obviously crossed the line, going after the longtime Rothschild cartel bank, steeped for centuries in international drug and human slavery trafficking, including today's pedophilia scourge. Joe not only has a pedophile child rapist son in Hunter, but via her disclosed diary, a sexually abused daughter, Ashley, whom as a teenager, Daddy Joy enjoyed taking showers with. And then there gob of public domain footage of photos and videos revealing Uncle Joe notoriously pawing and sniffing little girls and his uninvited whispered sexual innuendos filled with lewd comments of sweet perversions in his victims' ears. This criminal puppet has been foisted on America as a mockery and disgrace to fulfill his master's demands to destroy the U.S. sooner than later, compliments of satanic elites. Then we know that Senator Biden raped young aide Tara Reid in his office in 1993 among numerous women, claiming that the still unpunished sexual predator violated and exploited them as well. On top of this, through bribery and sexual blackmail, it's been proven that Joe Biden is owned and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. So at this point, bothering to even ask the question of whether the presidential imposter implant is being blackmailed is superfluous and even nonsensical, because everyone who has eyes, even half open, knows that the U.S. presidency has been bought and sold by China. But then Biden's not the first sellout to China. Starting back in the 1990s with the Clintons with Chinagate, committed impeachable treasonous crimes, giving away and selling U.S. military and technology secrets to Beijing, right up to traitors from within, like Joe's boss, the CIA groomed Manchurian Barack Hussein, along with the entrenched crew of neocon Jews, Bush-era holdovers behind neoconservatism even embraced by the Biden regime today. Key cabinet posts held largely by neocon Jews, Homeland Security boss, now up for impeachment, Alejandro Mayorkas, warmongering Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Ukraine regime change specialist Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, DOJ Attorney General Merrick Garland, the Federal Reserve Janet Yellen, April Haynes, Director of National Intelligence, along with the likes of Jewish Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and pro-Israel VP traitors Kamala Harris and retired Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. This trio caters to the corrupt Jewish lobby, while a majority of Democrats criticize Israel for its anti-Palestinian apartheid government. And now that the most hawkish Khazarian mafia chieftain, Bibi Netanyahu, is once again at the helm of Israel's most right-wing government in its three-quarters of a century history, working directly with fellow Zionist militant allies in the U.S. and the U.K., with Americans' security already subordinated to the Israeli agenda in both Washington and Tel Aviv, and with extremists now installed in key Israeli ministerial posts and holding greater sway in the legislature, brace for even more Israel-cultivated chaos, with potential deadly repercussions for American civilians and service members alike. Plus, the Biden regime flagrant weaponization of the FBI and DOJ, exposed by the Twitter files scandal, caught criminally colliding with big tech and big media industries to unconstitutionally censor and destroy honest truth tellers in order to push genocidal lies, killing millions and also enabling Democrats to continue rigging fraudulent back-to-back stolen elections and labeling those not buying the theft election deniers. The dark Luciferian truth beyond all these treasonous, outlandish, dangerous crimes are now blowing up, as even so-called normies are finally beginning to realize how the one-time constitutional republic of America has been completely captured and hijacked by a coup engineered by powerful foreign interests linked to Luciferian bloodline banking cartel dynasties like the Rothschild and Rockefeller crime families and useful idiot ally China's Communist Party. All their monstrously dark secrets are coming to light as military tribunals for thousands of genocidal criminals both in and out of government around the globe await the demonically conspired perpetrators who believe their birthright bloodline superiority justifies their genocidal crimes against humanity. The fact that rhino Republicans like Senator Lindsey Graham are currently calling for a special counsel to probe the sudden discovery of classified documents stored next to Joe's Corvette in his Delaware garage, conjointly plotting in cahoots with backstabbing Democrat Party insiders with big tech and mainstream as bloodline-owned and controlled dirty bidders, serving their Khazarian mafia puppet masters, now turned against their used-up, useful idiot Joe. But true to their evil ways, all of their useful idiots will soon enough be conveniently used up and quickly disposed of, just like their Uncle Joe. That's how treacherously demonic this non-human psychopathic breed is, as standard for every major news development unfolding today. The feeble-minded imposter Biden is being put out to his octogenarian pastures, but it's all been plotted well in advance. Mike Whitney astutely points out the bottom line to all this subversive cloak and dagger subterfuge. This is about Ukraine, not classified documents or potentially unlawful presidential behavior. And whatever you think of Biden, he doesn't want to be the president who starts World War III. Unfortunately, the elites who control the media, the politicians, and most of the nation's wealth are determined to widen the conflict, which is why the narrative in the media has dramatically changed in the last week. The Ukrainian army, continues Joaquin, is being torn to shreds literally in the Donbass as the overpowering Russian firepower and airborne division descended on the once heavily fortified blue and gold controlled Soledar and Bakhmut. But after days of intense fighting, the Russians have vanquished and conquered this 8-year-old Ukrainian stronghold, with its last 300 not-quite-dead troops surrendering as captive POWs. With Russia's winter offensive about to begin, and Washington and their bloodline controllers knowing full well that their cause in Ukraine is lost, a done deal currently slipping through their hands, despite deep state cabal weather geo and engineers working overtime to toast Europe through its mildest winter on record, no doubt to desperately delay Putin's armored winter onslaught. The stage is methodically set for the Luciferians to manipulate the U.S. and NATO into entering a potential nuclear World War III in Ukraine, fighting head-to-head against superior Russian forces, while Red China waits in the wings, poised and ready to take on Taiwan on the cabal's eastern Armageddon front. Out of the woodwork this week come such former deep state players as once Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates in a last-ditch attempt to implore Washington to deploy GI boots on the ground to dodge the inevitable collapse of Ukraine. At the behest of their masters, the deep state useful idiots are growing more desperate each passing week. As an aside, where this Representative Jamie Raskin has even declared the United States must squander all of its resources to benefit Ukraine, regardless of the cost to the United States. That's the Kazarian formula, the Zionist recipe. Fight these wars to the very last American soldier. The planetary controllers know their jig is up. Their unsustainable tin-canned U.S. dollar can't be kicked down the road any longer, as they simultaneously implode their bankrupted global economy, timed with their long-planned rollout of Schwab's designated ID, CBDC, Fourth Industrial Revolution's Great Reset, as a terrorized geopolitical world's brutally turned upside down, all at once exploding in world war, widespread famine, mass starvation, climate intervention collapse, critical fuel shortages freezing thousands, perhaps millions to death, amidst permanent rise in non-survival inflationary cost of living increase and planetary breakdown and civil disorder, deliberately triggering unprecedented law, law of the jungle violence, racial, religious, and class warfare, Western deindustrialization and controlled demolition of Western civilization in combo with the elite's ongoing death jab die-off already well in place. These massive worldwide crises are intended to regress humanity back to the feudal serfdom of the Dark Ages. Meanwhile, the relative handful of bloodline elites safely hunker down in underground luxury, waited out as they unleash their weapon of mass destruction, mass extermination, extinction event at Earth's surface, designed to kill off the vast bulk of expendable humanity in future generations. I think Joaquin has got it right. I mean, it's horrific to even face up to the monstrosity of the crimes taking place here. But honest to God, the guy is on top of these issues. He writes so very well. And you can find this on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Now, I'm not a regular follower of Benjamin Fulford, but what he's got to say here is extraordinarily interesting for today, January 16, 2023. McCarthy to replace Biden as U.S. president while the U.N. prepares to move to Laos. Some tectonic shifts have taken place in geopolitical power structure during the past week. The result will be the widely despised avatar, Joe Biden, being replaced by U.S. President as U.S. President by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Pentagon and MI6 sources say. Also, preparation to move U.N. headquarters from New York to Laos have begun in earnest. CIA sources in Laos say, good riddance. These changes are taking place as the main culprits for the present dysfunctional state of the planet gather in Davos, Switzerland, for the World Economic Forum. As this report was about to go live, CIA sources say the head of this organization, Klaus Schwab, would miss the opening of the WEF conference in Davos today due to a health issue. Devoutly to be wished. However, Fulford writes, this may be a disinformation trap designed to destroy the credibility of this newsletter by having him or an avatar appear after we report his absence. The WEF was unavailable for comment. Regardless, the criminals gathering in Davos have lost the battle for planet Earth. Multiple sources agree. My God, I hope that's right. What we know is that the entire Hitler-Rockefeller branch of the ruling class has lost power. This means descendants of Adolf Hitler and John Rockefeller the first, including Angela Merkel, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, David Rockefeller Jr., and more, will be stripped of all power and titles, MI6 sources say. To confirm if this is true, we need to see the public removal of Rockefeller avatar, President Joe Biden, along with the rubber mask-wearing phony Pope Francis. There are signs this is happening. In the U.S., a power struggle has resulted in a compromise where neither Donald Trump nor Joe Biden will be in power. The Supreme Court rejected the Brunson case to overthrow the 2020 election because it would have installed Donald Trump as president. The reason is that Donald Trump has appeared in public since January 2020 as a vaccine-pushing fraud. The real Donald Trump, whose son, Barron, was injured by vaccines, was virulently opposed to them. This means if the Supreme Court had reinstated Trump, then the avatar Joe Biden, who took orders from the Rockefellers, would have been replaced by a Trump avatar who took orders from the Rothschilds. So serious horse trading took place in the 15 rounds of votes it took to make Kevin McCarthy Speaker of the House. McCarthy was forced, among other things, to promise to hold hearings, and now the FBI was turned into a malignant force suppressing American patriots. Here's a Kerry leaked tweet. A list of things the FBI has suppressed, redacted, and hidden from the public. Hunter Biden's laptop. Ashley Biden's diary. Epstein's little black book. Hillary Clinton's emails. DOJ affidavit for Mar-a-Lago raid. My question is, why? The latest intelligence we have, Bradford continues, is that Biden will be removed along with Kamala Harris, the second in line for the presidency. That would make McCarthy president, but only as an interim figure would oversee new and genuine elections. In such an election, the real Donald Trump would run. That's where when I seen headlines like this in the corporate media propaganda. Former Clinton advisor David Gergen said Biden risked being creamed by Doc's case. Very, very big deal. This shows they're going to use the documents in garage story instead of child rape and murder or selling the U.S. government out to gangsters in Ukraine as the excuse to end the Biden force. to reconfirm, it is a farce notice how the fake Biden doesn't blink in this video. Most likely, it's CGI. The normal human being blinks their eyes 15 to 20 times a minute. On the other hand, there's Joe Biden. This dumb show cannot last much longer. Meanwhile, we have Michael Schellenberg tweeting. Spokesperson for the WEF say, the Great Reset, eating insects instead of meat and you'll owe nothing and be happy are conspiracy theories, but they're not. In fact, all of them originated at Devos and from the WEF's own website. But now, the WEF is deleting them. Let me say, I only hope what Benjamin Fulford is reporting here is even close approximation to the truth. Meanwhile, we have a cartoon about the La Garage. It's got the Corvette as the license plate big guy. A representative of the Chinese Communist Party is pouring through the box of the classified docs in the Corvette. And Hunter said, Dad, can I have the key? My friend wants to go for a ride. I think that captures, sums it up pretty damn well. Unbelievably disgusting. Meanwhile, we'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, this is a drill, on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
A bill was introduced in the House of Representatives by Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat from Texas, to prevent and prosecute white supremacy-inspired hate crime and conspiracy to commit white supremacy-inspired hate crime, and to amend Title 18 United States Code to expand the scope of hate crimes. As I share this with you, think about it. The overwhelming majority of crimes in the United States are committed by blacks on other blacks. That's like five times another that are committed by whites on whites or by blacks on whites. And less than 1% of those are committed by whites on blacks. So what are these white supremacy hate crimes Sheila Jackson Lee is talking about? January 6th? Didn't she get the memo? That was a Nancy Pelosi FBI, Capitol Police, Antifa disguised as Trump supporters operation to discredit Trump. Stunning stuff. And ask yourself, we have real hate crimes that actually take place, but it doesn't appear any of these are being covered here. I want to share this bill. I find this unbelievably insulting. Think about the range of groups and individuals who commit hate crimes, such as Black Lives Matter, such as Muslims, such as really we have a lot of fake anti-Semitic attacks because of the desire to play the victim card by the Zionists, where they fear exposure of the Holocaust nonsense, the myth, which I've delineated multiple places, including the Holocaust narrative, colon, politics, Trump science, which you can find online. Check it out. You want to have at your fingertips the evidence we have that these were labor camps. They weren't extermination centers. And where the total who died is approximately 281,000, 296,081, as ascertained by the International Committee of the Red Cross when they recalibrated their numbers in 1993, keeping track of all the individuals who died based upon their race or sex, their ethnicity, their religion, their cause of death. And guess what? Of those 296,081 who died in all the camps combined, not one was put to death in a gas chamber using Zyklon B. Not one. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Well, they got to suppress this because Jewish Zionist political power is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. That's what it's all about. And now you got Bibi Netanyahu back in the saddle. Bibi, along with his compatriot Ehud Olmert, were the brain trust behind 9/11. They designed the plan in the late 1980s to orchestrate an event that would be blamed on Arabs, of course, to draw American military forces into the geopolitically sensitive region of the Middle East and exert military and diplomatic power outward, really. Wesley Clark in 2007 revealed the actual agenda to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and then to attack the Persian nation of Iran. It didn't happen, but it was very successful as far as it went. Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, then going into after Syria, it was supposed to end with Syria and Iran. But by virtue of Russian intervention in Iranian, at the request of the democratically elected president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, a stop was put. Even to the ISIS army that had been manufactured by Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Brenner in 2012 in order to put pressure on the Assad government by raping, looting, murdering. I mean, they went crazy. I reported on so many times. Mike Flynn opposed it. He was the head, the director of the National Intelligence Agency. He courageously, intelligently, morally opposed it. But he was overruled, and John Brennan then suggested to Barack Obama he ought to be sacked. And for standing up for what was right, Mike Flynn got to heave-ho. And then when Trump wanted to have him as his national security advisor, they had to get rid of him because he knew where the bodies were buried. Just stunning what we've been living through. And here we see, you know, as a manifestation of the effort to dismember the United States, which includes destroying all the statues we have put up to Confederate generals, which are part of our historic legacy, signs of reconciliation between the North and the South, where our military has historically been made up of a lot of Southern boys who were inspired by the example of their predecessors, but now they're all being targeted and decimated, and they're losing any enthusiasm for joining the military, and the vax is of eviscerating our military capabilities. I mean, look, none of this is happening by coincidence. All of this is part of a deliberate scheme. And now you have Sheila Jackson Lee doing her part to promote the myth of white supremacy being a threat to the United States. It is bullshit. Here's a bill. It's not very long. To prevent and prosecute white supremacy-inspired hate crimes and conspiracy to commit white conspiracy-inspired hate crimes and to amend Title 18 United States Code to expand the scope of hate crimes. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled, Section 1, short title. This act may be cited as the Leading Against White Supremacy Act 2023, Section 2, White Supremacy-Inspired Hate Crime. A, in general, a person engages in a white supremacy-inspired hate crime when white supremacy ideology has motivated the planning, development, preparation, or perpetration of actions that constitute a crime or undertaken in furtherance of activity that, if effectuated, would have constituted a crime. B, conspiracy. A conspiracy to engage in white supremacy-inspired hate crime shall be determined to exist, one, between two or more persons engaged in the planning, development, preparation, or perpetration of a white supremacy-inspired hate crime, or two, between two or more persons, A, at least one of whom engaged in the planning, development, preparation, or perpetration of a white supremacy-inspired hate crime, and B, at least one of whom published material advancing white supremacist ideology, antagonism based on replacement theory, or hate speech that vilifies or is otherwise directed against any non-white person or group, and such published material. One, was published on a social media platform or by other means of publication with the likelihood that it would be viewed by persons or predisposed to engaging in any action in furtherance of a white supremacy-inspired hate crime, or susceptible to being encouraged to engage in action in furtherance of a white supremacy-inspired hate crime, notice, publishing anything on social media, what would that be? Anything critical of equity? Anything critical of diversity? Anything critical of teaching critical race theory? Would those be all white-inspired, white supremacist hate crimes? I have no doubt. Two, could, as determined by a reasonable person, motivate action by a person predisposed to engaging in a white supremacy-inspired hate crime, or by a person who's susceptible to being encouraged to engage in actions relating to a white supremacy-inspired hate crime. And three, was read, heard, or viewed by a person who engaged in the planning, development, preparation, or perpetration of a white supremacy-inspired hate crime. And as I say, that's include any of the above. If you object to equity, if you object to abolishing standards, if you object to social promotion, if you object to teaching critical race theory, you're committing a white supremacy-inspired hate crime. This is diabolical. E, Department of Justice Authority enforcement, monitoring, and reporting. The department shall have authority to conduct operations and activities pursuant to this section, specifically, one, with regard to information or evidence obtained by the department of any action cited in this section, the department shall have the authority to investigate, intercede, and undertake other actions that it deems necessary and appropriate to interdict, mitigate, or prevent such action from culminating in violent activity. That sounds like, you know, preventative action. That sounds like punishing people for crimes they have yet to commit. That sounds completely unconstitutional to me. Two, the department shall have the authority to prosecute persons who engage in actions cited in this section. And three, the Uniform Crime Reporting Program in the Department of Justice shall maintain records of white supremacy-inspired hate crimes and related actions cited in this section and enforcement actions in response thereto. The department shall provide annual reports to the appropriate committees in Congress that shall include information cited in this paragraph. Section 3, criminal offense. Section 249A1 of Title 18 United States Code is amended 1 in the matter preceding subparagraph A by inserting after race, color, religion, or national origin of any person the following, or because of a white supremacy-based motivation against any person, and two, in subparagraph B, A, in clause 1 by striking or at the end, B, in clause 2 by striking the period and inserting a semicolon, or, and C, by adding at the end the following. Three, the offense was in furtherance of a white supremacy-based motivation. In other words, they're building this all into the law that you cannot express an opinion critical of critical race theory or of diversity and equity in government or giving benefits to blacks or other minorities without committing a white supremacy hate crime. That's what all this means. This is a gross restriction on freedom of speech. This is a blatant violation of the First Amendment that's cloaked under the guise, the camouflage of preventing hate crimes. This is repulsive. And for this, we have to thank Sheila Jackson Lee. Section 4, findings. And this, in my opinion, is very revealing. Section 4702 of the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crime Prevention Act, 18 U.S. Code 249, note, is amended by adding at the end the following. Paragraph 11, mass shootings and other hate crimes motivated by white supremacy have been increasing in frequency and intensity. These heinous and virulent crimes are inspired by conspiracy theories, blatant bigotry, and mythical falsehoods such as replacement theory. All instances must be prevented and severe criminal penalties must be applied to their perpetrators. Blatant mythical falsehoods such as replacement theory, when we know it's a clergy plan, where there's nothing mythical about it, it's a fact and it's going on, and it's why the border matter is such a critical issue to the United States. Damn her. This is disgusting. Here's a real hate crime. New York City attacker was a hardcore Islamic extremist, investigators find. According to reports, a machete-wielding attacker who injured two police officers New Year's Eve in Times Square was motivated by Islamic radicalism. In a diary entry discovered after the attack, law enforcement authorities told news outlets Monday that Bickford begged his family to repent to Allah, join Islam. The 19-year-old who just converted to Islam, and we know how new converts are especially zealous, allegedly expressed a desire to fight in Afghanistan alongside Islamic extremists, which led to his inclusion on the FBI's terrorism blacklist. Bickford, who committed the assault just hours before the new year, faces two counts of attempted murder, one count of attempted assault for each police officer he hurt. He might also be charged with terrorism. The Muslim wielding a machete reportedly waited until the officers were secluded from onlookers before attacking. Bickford also refers to the U.S. military and his brother, who is in law enforcement, as the enemy in his diary. Paul Cosolino and Louis Loyo, two police officers who both sustained head injuries, were subsequently discharged from the hospital. Michael Hanna, a third officer, took down Bickford, who shot him in the shoulder. The attacker, a native of Maine, traveled to New York City on Saturday after leaving his home state in December. His family informed authorities of his intention to travel to the Middle East shortly after he left, spurring an FBI inquiry. According to a spokesman for Alvin Bragg's office, the Manhattan District Attorney is holding off on announcing charges until Bickford's arraignment hearing. Bragg, a Democrat, was elected to office in 2021 with the help of a $1 million gift from left-wing billionaire George Soros. So you can imagine what he's going to do with him. He'll have him back out on the street. Only a few months have passed since another Islamic extremist in New York State brutally stabbed novelist Salman Rushdie. Rushdie, 12 times stabbed by the knife-wielding attacker, who said he had attacked Islam and that he had respect for former Iranian supreme leader Ayatollah Khomeini, who had issued a fatwa over Rushdie's novel, The Satanic Verses. Now think about it. We have came all kinds of offenses that are committed by Muslims, by blacks, by Jews, I dare say, many of them fake. Why isn't this hate crime act including them? Why is it restricted to white supremacists? Why isn't it inclusive of any racially inspired hate crime or religiously inspired hate crime? Why the hell is Sheila Jackson Lee only targeting white supremacists? And by the way, while it's a liberal dogma that everyone commits crime with equal propensity, that's simply false. Blacks overwhelmingly commit the most crimes in the United States, overwhelmingly, in every category. When you break down criminal offenses by race per capita, Asian, Native American, black, white, blacks prevail in every single category with the exception of alcohol-related crimes. Drunkenness, driving under the influence. Because Native Americans have a genetic incapacity to absorb alcohol. But in every other category, it's overwhelmingly a matter of blacks committing the most crimes, which is why they are incarcerated disproportionate to their percentage of the population, because they have a greater disposition or propensity to commit crime. There is no doubt about it. Every demographer, every student, of sociology, criminology is well aware. So that just more of the nonsense we're getting here from the Democrats who are continuing to try to isolate and identify anyone who is supportive of Donald Trump. I'm completely fascinated by what we're hearing, in this case from Benjamin Fulford. Completely fascinated. Meanwhile, I have a clip where Mike Adams is talking about how the effort to get us all vaxxed is going to extend to our meat supply. Mitchell, if you could play that, I'd be most appreciative.
The situation update from Monday, January 16, 2023. I'm Mike Adams, the health ranger of naturalnews.com. Thank you for joining me. And of course, over the weekend, more classified Biden documents were found, including a fascinating connection with Hunter Biden and a question of why was he paying Joe Biden $50,000 a month for rent? Yeah, sounds like a kickback to me. But we've got news on a variety of subjects here today, including a temporary morgue being set up across the UK, the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department banning Blue Lives Matter flags. If you can believe that, it's like the head of the police in L.A. is anti-police. No surprise there. We've got the USDA announcing some rather shocking news about collapsing corn harvest across the United States. That's not good news. The CDC investigating links between the vaccine and heart problems and myocarditis and sudden cardiac events and so on. And vaccines and livestock, all kinds of things like that. Oh, and in addition, an update on the Russia-Ukraine situation with Scott Ritter chiming in via a YouTube video, an interview he did with another host. Going to play a couple minutes for you of Scott Ritter. But the big news today, that what we're going to lead off with here, is actually the ATF going ballistic on Americans and announcing this ban on arm braces, or what's called the stabilizing braces, on pistols. AR-15 pistols and AK pistols typically. Now, even if you don't own one of these, you need to hear this, because this is another example of a rogue ATF, another federal agency out of control, essentially writing law, making up new laws. They have just outlawed, with this rule they published on Friday afternoon, they have turned probably tens of millions of Americans into felons. At least several million, but there are believed to be anywhere from 10 to 40 million of these arm braces out there across the country, including a couple that I have as well. And of course, we all bought these things legally. You know, I bought them legally. I've got some AR-15 pistols with arm braces on them. Bought them legally. The ATF had previously issued multiple decisions about these arm braces being completely legal, that they did not convert your firearm into a short-barreled rifle. This was the ATF position and opinion over and over and over again across many years. And then
Mitchell,
suddenly
let's
now,
if we skip
they
forward,
say find that where if you own one of these devices,
you know,
you're going to be a criminal.
Putting the
meat, Poland.
The backs in the
and
meat.
Poland is in the process of trying to pull together three.
See if we can find it. Meanwhile, I mean, that's the message here, whether we can find it on Mike Adams or not. To wit, they're planning to introduce the mRNA vax into the meat supply. It's really disgusting. Your meat supply will soon be widely infected with mRNA spike, a protein. I mean, just disgusting beyond belief. No doubt we don't actually need it, Mitchell. We're so close to where we're hitting the break. Let me invite anyone who'd like to call in here, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. This whole business with Sheila Jackson Lee, very disappointing. I used to think she was a halfway decent human being, but I withdraw that position. I no longer believe that. And I would only hope Benjamin Fulford might be somewhere close to the truth about what's going to happen here. And my God, I would like it if he's right across the board. How fantastic. Meanwhile, we have Israel's outgoing army chief saying Israel has three plans to attack Iran. Well, it's not as though Iran isn't prepared for this. It's not as though Iran doesn't know that Israel harbors malevolent motives toward Iran. But believe me, Iran is prepared. I have no doubt. And even if it's only a matter of conventional. Here's a friend of mine who sent me this story. He says, yeah, it's got three plans. The three plans are plan number one, U.S. attacks Iran. Plan number two, U.S. attacks Iran. Plan number three, U.S. attacks Iran. Right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We have a caller from the area code 815. Caller, please just give us a first name in your state and join the conversation.
Hi, Jim. This is Joseph from Illinois.
Perfect.
Hey, about the Benjamin Fulford story there. Now, did he say in that story that Trump's son, Barron, was severely injured by the vaccine, and the real Donald Trump is dead against the vaccine, and there's a fake Donald Trump out there now or something? Or is that what Benjamin Fulford said, or is that one of your theories?
I know Barron was injured by the vax, and I've been very troubled. In fact, among those of my friends who and associates who are enthusiastic about Donald Trump, but the greatest complaint we all share is that he was so steadfast in promoting the vax, which seems inconsistent with his real attitudes. Yeah, Fulford was suggesting as much, that in effect
he
there's
was
a bit
too. Okay.
Yeah, it was Fulford, not I, but I do endorse that, you know, Barron did suffer from the vax, and that it's hard to imagine the real Donald Trump could be enthusiastic about him. Further thoughts of yours,
right?
You know.
Well, I could believe that he was injured, but I just don't agree that the Trump out there is like a fake Joe Biden. I could buy that, but I don't think they have a fake Trump body double. And as far as thinking of McCarthy, I always thought the same thing. I said they're going to make this guy president, because when they were going through the confirmation, all those votes, I was like, why doesn't he just back down and pick somebody else? And now it's so obvious he can't. He had to do it. They're going to make him president. Not Kamala. No way could they make Kamala president, you know. I believe that they're going to, Judge Clarence Thomas is going to have a sudden death, natural death with the microwave weapon. And they're going to be a vacancy for the SCOTUS position, and they're going to put her on there. They can't put her in charge of the country, and that it's, I think it's time that it's time for, in their eyes, for a Republican. I don't think they could rig the election for a Democrat again. You know, they passed the ball off from Bush to Obama and whatever. This elections were still rigged, but the, you know, candidates weren't. But the only thing I got against this Benjamin Fulford guy is his association. There's three people: Benjamin Fulford, the Robert David Steele, who's passed away. I don't want to say anything bad. And maybe these David Wilcox, those three are shady because of their involvement with this Q conspiracy stuff. I think they were helping promote some of that nonsense. And you can recall that Robert David Steele, his kangaroo world court, where they all made themselves in charge of the world and dressed up in uniforms. I mean, what a bunch of LARPers they were, right? And that thing about Mars and child sex trafficking on Mars. It was just totally absurd, you know? And I think it's the rhetoric like that, that got Ashley Babbitt killed. You know, that's why I blame like these Benjamin Fulford, Robert David Steele, putting that in Ashley Babbitt's head, going there, and she got killed believing tripe like that, you know? So that's the only thing I'm worried about. Anything from Fulford or any of that crowd, you got to take it with a grain of salt. I agree. I think it is McCarthy next and stuff, but I'm wary about those, that crowd. Any thoughts of your own, Jim?
Yeah, quite a few, actually. You've raised so many different issues. Working backwards, roughly, I think Ashley Babbitt shooting was actually staged. She didn't have this spurting blood. There was virtually none. There was a little packet of blood she was handed when she was on the ground. That all looks to me completely contrived. There was no justification for shooting him. The officer wasn't in any mortal danger. She wasn't even in the hallway. She was going through the window. So I disagree about that. Now, regarding Robert David Steele, I want you to elaborate on part of what you're talking about here, because my interaction with him was generally very, very positive. For example, he offered to be an expert witness in my case, that I'd been allowed to present witnesses and evidence to a jury that he had, in his working with the CIA, actually conducted a modest false flag, and he was convinced that Sandy Hook had been a false flag. That's number one. Number two, he and I collaborated on two different memoranda for then-President Trump. One was a memorandum about Sandy Hook, where I brought together virtually all of the contributors, and another, a memorandum about 9/11, where I brought together about half. And where Robert was extremely appreciative and, complimentary to me for my assistance with these projects, which I submit are two of the best documents out there. So I encourage everyone, look for the POTUS memorandum about Sandy Hook and the POTUS memorandum about 9/11. Now, that doesn't mean that he was a flawless guy. He died in a hospital by being put on a ventilator and given some kind of injection. He went in with ivermectin. He, of course, was a very strong personality. They would have felt he was uncontrollable. I think they sedated him, put him on a ventilator contrary to his desires expressed, and they killed him. I mean, I just don't have any doubt. I mean, hospitals can be very dangerous places because the government knows exactly where you are and can manufacture circumstances. A participant in the assassination of JFK, I got to know personally, Chauncey Marvin Holt, for example, was the third of the three tramps, not E. Howard Hunt, Chauncey Marvin Holt, was working as a contract agent for the CIA when he was instructed to prepare 15 sets of forged Secret Service credentials for use in and around Dealey Plaza. I won't relate the whole story. I'll just tell you, there were several attempts to assassinate him where the other guy got the short end of the stick, but he was hospitalized, and the CIA sent in a physician who injected him with a blood thinner, and he swelled up like a turnip, like a tomato, and died from internal bleeding. I mean, this is just the kind of thing they can pull off. So I want you to elaborate a little more about the Steele thing and what you find suspicious, since those aspects of my encounter have been very positive. Please tell me more.
Well, I just find it suspicious where the world court, right? It's like a made-up LARPer, it seemed like to me. There was nobody of authority, and they just appointed themselves judges of the whole world and dressed up in gowns and had meetings and some, you know, it just seemed like a big LARP. And it seemed like he was also promoting a lot of these Q fairies, like him and Fulford and Wilcox were all a part of this Q thing. You know what I mean? I was a Trump supporter. I believe in child sex trafficking. I know what, you know, we're all dead set against what, Epstein did. And we're all aware of it. We have no doubts of that stuff. It's evil and it's out there. But to suggest white hats, they use term like white hats and good guys and promote a fiction that there's people out there that are going to do this and fix the world and the evils and round up all these pedophiles and all these secret military convictions that just seem to never come to fruition is what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, well, let me just say I agree with you about this, that I was never quite sold on the Q movement, but I did watch a number of the broadcasts there. I think it was designed to contain resistance by the Patriot movement by giving them a false belief that things were going on behind the scene and therefore not to take any action that might be disruptive. But I believe it was a psyop. I agree with you completely. And
I agree.
Such role as David may have had in that is, I agree, open to question. So I appreciate all the thoughts you're bringing to the table here. More that you want to add, particularly about Fulford, is interesting. I mean, Kamala Harris is a brainless boot. She does not have an original thought in her body. She's incompetent of clear thinking. The idea of putting her on the Supreme Court is just ghastly, in my opinion. Now, you suggested they might want to take out Thomas. Now, it's very. Go ahead. Go ahead about Clarence Thomas. I'm interested in your thoughts. Go ahead.
All right. I thought somebody else was going to chime in. It's just my theory is that I know that there's the Republican court now with the Trump appointees. They have control of the court, and all the liberals before they go to a Republican presidency next time with McCarthy, that they would want to balance out the court with one more Democrat appointee. And I think that Clarence Thomas is the most upstanding, righteous, you know, constitutional, the best there is. And so that's who they would go after and replace that kind of righteousness with that direct opposite and Kamala Harris. You know what I mean? And then that way Kamala is out of the way. She would rather be a life appointee Supreme Court than just a president for 2 years, right? And then they could get McCarthy in to finish. And then for the election, boom, he'd be already did 2 years serving, and then he would be the candidate that the GOP would have to get behind instead of DeSantis or Trump. You know, that's just the way. Because elections are rigged. You know, they just have to make it look appear real, right?
We do have another caller, and I'm glad to bring him in. Area code 720. Give us your name and your state and join the conversation, please.
This is Navy.
Go ahead.
On the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
Prevet Serafina.
Go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
I think what's happening now is the perfect situation that they've been pulling for, God knows, the last 10 or 20 years. Now it's coming to a head because people are finally starting to see, thank God, thank all the gods, of what's being done to us. I'm a veteran of the United States military. We've been pushed to a point where we're not the people these guys want to F with. But it's getting to that point. I'm sorry to say, but me and my brothers, we have a band of brothers that cover the whole continent. I got friends in the Philippines, friends in Africa, friends all over this country, of course. Friends in places you haven't. Well, no, you, Jim, would know. We're not going to take this anymore. If no one else will stand up for this country, we are swore an oath to do that. We have no problem with doing that and carrying that out. I'm sorry to say it's come to this, but what the hell? People are dropped. I mean, I'm calling friends of mine, and they're watching people drop off all around them.
Die, yeah. From the vax, sure.
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe that's all. To, yeah. Very interesting.
You go to funerals and you hear their families, and it's like, I can't believe. I mean, there's one thing that's changed here. And it changed the second they started pushing these vaccines. And I mean, have you ever seen anything pushed so hard in your life where they're giving away everything from free hamburgers to lottery tickets? I mean, I'm not as old as you, but I'm old enough to know never in my life have I ever seen anything like that pushed so hard. And now that it's coming out, the CDC and these people are trying to cover their butts. And believe me, me and my friends say, your butts are not covered. But they're coming out and trying to say, oh, well, there may be something to this. And, you know, go and tell a crying mother that she was dumb enough to have her kid vaccinated. Now her kid's gone. Someday, some way, these people are going to... And what about the people who are walking around with this crap in their body? And they're watching their lives slowly deteriorate? At some point, they're going to want to take something out of someone. And it's really sad that's what it's coming down to. But hell, these are the people who did this, and now they're going to have to live with what they did.
Or not, in my opinion. They need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. They've been engaged in genocide, deliberate murder of the American people, in my opinion. They deserve the most severe penalty possible, which would be the death penalty, in my opinion. That's more than deserved and appropriate. And I don't think anyone who understands what's been going on here would take exception to that. And obviously... No. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, the doctor's office around the corner who injected my loved one, who died from that injection, that doctor's office, I hope they have heavily security.
Yeah.
I'm a combat veteran, and I've traveled all over this world. I've never, ever, even in countries where everything had just dropped into total chaos, I've never seen anything like this. It blows my mind to see this happen in this country. And I know, Jim, I know your background, I know where you're from, I know all your dealings with us veterans. I mean... How long do you think it's going to take as we watch the things that we were sworn to protect, to watch them being taken out? And the other thing, you know, I was in Texas a couple of months ago talking to a bunch of my buddies down there. And what we're watching coming and people's hands are tied and they're watching this stuff happen. We gotten to the point where the snake is out, and the only way you stop this is you take the head of the snake. Unfortunately, my life to me means a lot. It means things to other people, but I will gladly give my life to stop this shit.
Yeah, I feel the same way. We're joined by another caller. Brian, join the conversation.
I just wanted to point out, Jim, that legislation introduced by, what was her name, that Jackson Lee or whatever.
Yeah, Sheila Jackson Lee.
What all that points to is they're setting the stage for a genocide of whites. In South Africa, when they had the genocide of the whites, all this kind of stuff was put into place beforehand. And they always use the same playbook. So that's what you're looking at. They're wanting to genocide us all. So anyway, it's just so obvious. And another interesting thing, I know you've been on Louise's show, Goldfish Report, and she's had some really good shows lately. She had one a couple days ago, whatever it was, Saturday, about how the jab breaks your connection to the divine. I know in 2005 they had the Genome Project where they were going to map out the entire human genetic code to prove that we arose from pond scum or whatever. And they came to a gene, I think it was number 64, and they go, oh my God, this is a connection to the divine gene. And Bill Gates said, well, we'll figure out a way to fix that. So anyway, so she had some information on that. So I thought I'd bring it up because I know you've been on her show and she had some other good shows. She might be a good guest.
Yeah, no, I know Louisa very well. I know Louisa very well. Let me go back to our Chicago caller for his further thoughts, please.
Yeah, Jim, Joe. Yeah, I agree that I feel these guys' frustration and the vets especially, and that feeling of despair and desperation is probably around a lot of people. I don't let it get to me. I have faith in my Lord, but it's apparent that when you take away people's right to address and grievance, you take away their vote, you take away their voice, and all means for peaceful resolution is denied, then yes, of course, revolution is inevitable. And I feel it's a matter of time. We all have that feeling coming down, but I just sit tight and wait for it. And, I think I know it's getting worse, and I feel I've already been saved, so I just have to wait. I don't know.
Fair enough, Navy. Further thoughts from you?
Well, all I can say, well, I want to say a special prayer for my friend Mitch, and we hope whatever you have to do tomorrow works out well for you. Just know everyone's got your back. But for me personally, we're not going to go down on our knees. There's a lot of stuff he can do to us. That is true. But you're going against one of the strongest fighting forces that have ever been acquired. We're talking about millions of combat trained veterans who can operate every system this country has ever developed. We are not the people you want to go against. But hey, man, you guys are going so haywire, so crazy. Bring it on.
Brian, back to you. Back to you, Brian.
Well, I just think this Ukraine thing, they're just screwing up so bad now. Their thinking is so... You know, I think what's going to happen is when the Russians start rolling through Ukraine, they're going to pull something really stupid, and it might be their downfall. It might be the start of the end of everything once this gets rolling. So, anyway, that's just the feeling I have.
I'm not quite. Could you rephrase that in different words? You mean the West, the NATO, the U.S. mucking up when Russia takes over Ukraine?
Right. Once the Russians launched their offensive that they're going to be launching, I think they're going to do something really stupid, and it's going to. That's just a feeling, you know. Maybe NATO will fall apart because of it, because some of the member nations, and then the fact that we got involved with it, and I think there might be some real backlash from that, and they're just acting so insane. I mean, you know, and I'm listening to this State Department guy say, well, if we do this and this, the Russians might, you know, escalate to nuclear war, but guess what, we're going to do this and this. You know, I mean, who thinks like that? You listen to them, you go, these guys are really insane. And I it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to a head. So that's just my feeling.
Chicago.
Yeah, I pray for the people in Ukraine and Russia. I'm anti-war. I'm like the old school liberals or Democrats that would be out protesting the Vietnam War, not cheering it on. It's just ironic how they've just... Liberals have become warmongers, and was good has become bad, and what's bad is good, and a total reversal of everything in my life. I just turned 60. I'm not younger than you guys, but I've seen it. Kennedy was president when I was born. I remember that area. I remember right and wrong, you know, and I see it's a total 180 opposite now. I agree with everything. The world is upside down. And Ukraine, I don't care about Ukraine. You know, most people don't. And I don't understand why they're putting on ribbons. You know, if Mexico did the same thing to the United States, want to join SPADO and put missiles on the border, we would do the same thing. The whole thing is insane. They're pushing for destruction. They're pushing for war. They're pushing for the annihilation of mankind. And I'm not upset because I'm already saved. Like I said, Jim, I know you're agnostic, but it's never too late. Jesus saves.
I appreciate
it. All we have to do is get on board.
I appreciate all that. Chicago Navy, Brian, excellent calls. I'm really pleased you called in.
Can I say one thing? The Russians are not our enemy. There's so many beautiful Christian people in Russia. If people haven't been to Russia or haven't dealt with the Russians, I'm sorry, man.
Hey, maybe I do completely. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and